Okay. All right, let's open the Word of God, if you will. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We missed last Sunday morning. And I hope that you were edified by what we showed. I really like the presentation of the ambassador from Israel and from Nikki Haley of the UN. And in fact, we liked it so much we made our guests sit and listen to it the other night. And so if you come stay at our house, we'll probably show it to you again. And let's begin with a word of prayer. And the prayer is so important. It's time to test yourself to see if you're trusting the Holy Spirit, who is a true teacher. And when you deal with the concepts that we're going to be dealing with this morning, it is imperative that we have the filling of the Holy Spirit. So let's begin with a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that Jesus Christ came to give us eternal life. But Heavenly Father, you left us here on earth, and we still have our sin nature. We still have the battles in the flesh. And so you have provided us with your filling of your Spirit, the indwelling of your Spirit. And Father, we pray now that your Spirit will open for us the Word of God, that we might understand it in truth. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, let's read where we are since it's been a couple of weeks. 1 Corinthians 13, 1. If I speak with the language of men and angels, if and I do, I may or may not, but that's not the point. Doesn't matter. But if I do speak with the language of men and of angels, which tells us angels have a different language than men, but do not have love, I become a noisy gong or an echoing sound. You remember that the word is echoing. And what does an echo do? It draws attention to you, your voice, who and what you are, not on who and what Christ is. Verse 2. If I have the gift of prophecy and know all mysteries and all knowledge. That's an awesome statement. To have all knowledge. And if I have faith so as to remove mountains, and we saw that means insurmountable obstacles in your life, but do not have love, I am nothing. You can know a world of doctrine, but if you do not have love, you're nothing. Then verse 3, which is where we are. I give all my possessions, and you forget to feed the poor. That's not in there. And it's very important that you understand it's not in there. And the reason it is important, I want to remind you, Christianity, God, is different from all the religions of the world because God doesn't care about what you're giving to. It's the condition of the giver. Religions, Muslim, Hindu, Mormon, Buddhist, whatever, their emphasis is to what you're giving. The poor, the needy. Not with God. He is more concerned with the condition of the giver than he is what you're giving to. So forget that little phrase of the poor. It's not in there. And it's very important that you understand it's not in there. If I give all my possessions, and if I surrender my body to be burned. Okay, this is as far as we've gotten. Now, what you have going on in verse 3, well, all three verses, but in verse 3, the great thing about spiritual love, the first thing you want to know and remember about spiritual love sees a need. God so loved the world, He gave. Spiritual love sees a need and then does whatever it can do to meet that need. Verse 3, you have seeing needs and meeting them. I give all my possessions. I give my own life, but do not have love. It profiteth me nothing. Nothing. So it is spiritual love that alchemizes or transforms common good into gold before God. It is not the doing of things. It's the power in which you do them. And we are in the midst of looking at some summary points at this point. Let's just go over those and then move on. Point one. What determines if something is profitable spiritually? That's what we're dealing with. He said, it profits me nothing. What determines if something is profitable spiritual? What pleases God? And only what is done of faith pleases God. Only what's done of the Holy Spirit pleases God. So only what is done in the Holy faith in the Spirit pleases God. Look at Matthew 16. Matthew 16, verse 25. For whoever wishes to save, wish, that's your desire, to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what will it profit, there's our word, a man, if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul to the eternal lake of fire? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So the great question is, how do we determine what is profitable? Time and eternity. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Earth, heaven. Keep seeking the things above, not the things on earth. Colossians 3, 2. Self or the Holy Spirit. Now, point 2. Accomplishing a goal is another way of determining whether something is profitable or not. Accomplishing a goal, you set your goal up, whether or not you accomplish it. Now, I'll talk about setting up the goal, but right now, accomplishing a goal is another way of determining whether something is profitable. Look at Matthew 27, verse 24. When Pilate saw that he was accomplishing nothing. He had a goal, and he was accomplishing nothing. But rather, that a riot was starting. He took water, washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, I am innocent of this man's blood. See that for yourselves. Now, what I want you to see is, first of all, you have to determine what you desire. And then, if what you are doing is going to accomplish that desired goal, it is then what you are doing is going to be profitable or not. Now, for many Christians, determining your goal is not as easy as it sounds. Most Christians do not have a proper goal. You've got to determine what your goal is before God as to whether or not you can accomplish it before God. Point three. I'll build on that as we go through. Point three. Very important point. Anything done in the flesh. Anything. And this probably is the most difficult concept for most Christians to grasp. Anything done in the flesh is not spiritually profitable before God. I don't care what it is. If it's done in the flesh, forget it. John 6, 63. Let's look at John 6, 63. John 6, 63. It is the Holy Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. It can't be any clearer than that, people. The flesh accomplishes nothing. Love that you do in the flesh, whatever you do in the flesh, accomplishes nothing before God. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. So the flesh accomplishes nothing. Now, what does that mean? Anything done in the energy of the flesh profits nothing in the spiritual realm for time or eternity. Remember the flesh? What we received at our first birth, the human nature, our earth nature, and it cannot profit anything in the spiritual, in the invisible, in the heavenly realm. That goes into eternity. Many Christians work very hard for spiritual profit and gain, nothing, because they're doing it in the flesh. I think the judgment seat of Christ is going to be the saddest moment that most Christians will ever experience. And remember, there is shame at the judgment seat of Christ. It's momentary. And the Revelation 21 passage, no more sorrow, no more tears, that's after the judgment seat of Christ. So, there's going to be a lot of shame. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of pastors who spent their life studying and teaching, preaching, doing good. Nothing. Nothing. And I mean zero before God. See? So many Christians do a lot of work. Do and do. Do and do. Work hard. Give and give. Diligently working. Being moral. Being righteous. Being good. Learning the Bible. Witnessing. Giving their lives for Christ. Reap nothing. Reap nothing. That's why if you're going to go to the trouble to get out of bed and get here, be sure you're filled with the Spirit. Make it count. Make it count. Look at Jeremiah chapter 12, Old Testament, Jeremiah. I love the book of Jeremiah. I've enjoyed Wednesday night, something I've never done in 45 years in the ministry, a chapter a night. And when I get through, I may do some books that I'll never get to verse by verse. And Jeremiah will be one of them. Just do a chapter a night. So you see the whole flow of something from like the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 12, verse 13. They have sown wheat, that's what they planted and all, reaped thorns. All their labors for nothing. They have strained themselves to no profit. But be ashamed. Now here's the warning. Be ashamed of your harvest because of the fierce anger of the Lord, the wrath of God. So people, you've got to understand, God's just not impressed with the flesh. If you did an in-depth study of Martin Luther and what caused the Reformation, this was one of his primary points. That we can do and do and do and do, and it means nothing before God in the flesh. And the church couldn't handle that. Okay, let's go to point four. Very important. Whether or not something is of value or benefit is determined by the covenant you desire to live under in your relationship with God. If you desire to live by the Mosaic law, then you have to do it all. You have to do everything that the law demands. Because if you do not do all that the law demands, you reap death. The law is an interesting instrument. It talks about life, but it gives death. It points to the only solution, which is Christ. Look at Romans chapter 2. So all that the law demands is only profitable if you do it all. Don't miss out on one little point. One little mental attitude sin and you blown it. You blown the whole law. Alright, Romans 2:25. For indeed, circumcision is of value if you practice the law. But if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. It's of no value. No value. Let me read to you Galatians chapter 5, verse 2. Behold, I, Paul, say to you, if you receive circumcision under the law, Christ is of no benefit to you. You don't need the law and Christ. You get to choose. You choose, God, I want to come to you on the basis of the law. God, I want to come to you on the basis of Christ and what is accomplished on the cross. You don't get both, but you do get to choose which of the two you want. If you choose the law, Christ is of no benefit whatsoever. If you choose Christ, the law is of no benefit. It's been nailed to the cross. Okay. Very important point five. Very important. Our faith determines whether something is profitable spiritually or not. Our faith determines whether something is spiritually profitable. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Okay, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 2. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us, just as they had also. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Now, what you want to remember here is that all-important question I've given to you 100 times. Is your faith the faith God is looking for? Everyone says they do faith. Is your faith the faith God is looking for? Those who teach, you're filled with the Spirit by confession. They have faith that if they confess, God will do something. That's not the faith God is looking for. That's faith in what I do. The faith God is looking for is a faith in a member of the Godhead. Relationships between humans, love. Relationship between creature and creator, faith. Faith is our relationship word with God, not love. Love will come later, but faith is our relationship with God. So, this is the main thing you want to ask yourself. Is your faith the faith God is looking for? You've got to be very serious about it. Is my faith in something I do? And if I do this, I expect God to bless me? Or is my faith in Jesus Christ for salvation? In the Holy Spirit for spirituality? What is the object of your faith? So point five, our faith determines whether whatever we do is profitable or not, but is your faith the faith God is looking for? Point six, it is spiritual love. Remember, we're in 1 Corinthians 13. It is spiritual love that transforms whatever we do into that which is spiritually profitable. Without spiritual love, it is not profitable. It is just a common object. Giving your own life, giving property, knowing the Word of God, serving Him, witnessing, on and on and on, singing. But it is spiritual love that's going to transform that into something profitable before God. 1 Corinthians 13, 1-3. It's spiritual love that's going to do it. And I'm sorry, there are going to be a lot of people with beautiful voices sang beautiful hymns in churches. It is they sing and have done it for years. Get at the judgment seat of Christ, zero. They were performing. They were doing it for themselves. They may have fooled themselves doing it for God. They did it in the flesh. No different between them and an unbeliever singing a beautiful hymn. People, it's very important. It's essential. Spiritual love is what transforms what we do into something that is valuable. 1 Samuel chapter 12. And I encourage you to look at that with me because there are several things we want to note here. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 21. You, believer, in context, Israel, must not turn aside. We would understand that in the church age from the Holy Spirit. For then you would go after futile things. If you turn aside from the Holy Spirit, you go after, at your goal, futile things, which cannot profit or deliver because they're futile. One verse, the word futile twice. Now, what is futile? This is beautiful. The Hebrew word is tohu, T-O-H-U. And I love this Hebrew word. Just to give you some idea of how useless what you think is valuable and important, what you do in the flesh, and you try to impress God, how futile and useless that is this word futile. In the Complete Word Study Dictionary of the Old Testament, formless, confusion. Now, let me give you a quote. This is so classic. I would love to speak with the author of the Complete Word Study Dictionary, Spyros Zoriadis. He's a Greek, wonderful man. Listen to this and see if you hear it. The exact meaning of this term is difficult at best, since its study is limited to its relatively few occurrences. Now, continuing quote, it is used to describe, listen to this, see if you hear it, it is used to describe the primeval earth before the 7 days of creation. How could you have it there and then have creation here? I would love to sit and say, wait a minute, Spall, you blew it here. Can you not read what you're saying? The earth has existed. And then came the 7 days of creation. Those aren't 7 days of creation. They're 7 days of restoration. But what is important here is our word. Genesis 1:2 says the world, the earth was tohu, formless, confusion, emptiness. That's what it is. And that's what all our work is in the flesh. So works in the flesh are tohu. The lexicon goes on to say, a land reduced to primeval chaos, formlessness. Now, that the earth existed before Genesis 1:2, you can do a study on Isaiah 34:11, Isaiah 45:18, Jeremiah 4:23. That's not my study, but just to put that in. A destroyed city in Isaiah 24:10. Another one that I love to describe are futile labor, nothingness, or empty space. Nothing. But look at all the work I've done. Nothing. You've done nothing for me, God. You've done nothing to glorify my Son. If it's not in the power of my Spirit. That's how serious this is before God. Job 26:7, a barren wasteland. In many passages, like Deuteronomy 12:10, just a barren wasteland. Another one that we would apply to our study, like idolatry. Think about it. When we offer God works of our flesh, is not that idolatry? That's idolatry. Look, here's what I worship, my works. I worship what I've done for you. I offer it to you. God sees it as idolatry. 1:7. Why? Why is doing things in spiritual love, in the power of the Holy Spirit, so important to God? Why does what we do in the spiritual love determine whether or not something is spiritually profitable? Battle of glory. It's the battle of glory. Who gets the glory? God or you? Remember, angels are watching to see if what we offer God is enough for God. Here you and I are, were as unbelievers, destined for an eternal lake of fire. Angels knew that. And some offered God, hear all my works. And angels look at this to see if those works are going to be acceptable to God. What do you and I do? We come to God, I offer you nothing. I trust your Son. And angels, well, there's nothing there. They look at God. Is that going to be enough for you? That all they did is trust you and trust your Son? Angels are learning by watching us people. It's part of the angelic conflict. And they're looking. And all we are offering is what the Holy Spirit does through us. It's not even what we do, it's what He does. And we offer that to Him. And angels say, is that going to be enough for God to bless you for all eternity? So that's what's important here. Who's going to get the glory, you or God? Look at Job 22. Job 22, verse 3. is in verse 3. Job 22, verse 3. Is there any pleasure to the Almighty if you're righteous on your own? Or profit to you if you make your ways perfect? And the answer is no. There is not. There is not. If you do it, people, this means you get the glory. But if you do it in the Holy Spirit, God gets the glory. Here's where all He is comes to play. His sovereignty, His perfect righteousness. Compare anything that we do in the flesh to what God does. And see if it's meritorious. See? See if it's meritorious. God the Holy Spirit does it. We receive rewards. I think that's a great, great deal. He does the work. I get the reward at the judgment seat of Christ. That sounds like a great deal. God the Holy Spirit, whom He has graciously supplied, every one of us, Galatians 3:5, His Son, that are in His Son, with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit does it, that's God doing it. God gets the glory. You and I get a prize. He gets the glory. So remember, spiritual love determines profitability. Spiritual love is love that God the Holy Spirit gives to us. If no spiritual love, God is not working. If no working of God, no profit to us. See? It's very simple. If I do this in the flesh, I get the glory, no profit. If I do it in the Spirit, I do no work, but I get a gain. I get a prize. So you get to decide. Point 8. Just because we do something does not mean it's spiritually profitable. This goes back to the offering. Religion, if you give, they look at how much you gave and to who you gave it to. Do you give consistently? Do you give a lot? See? And who do you give it to? The poor, the needy. Not God. God does not look at the condition that we give to. God looks at our condition. Looks at the spiritual condition of the person who gives. So just because we do something does not mean it is spiritually profitable. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 6:12. 1 Corinthians 6:12. Just because you do something does not mean it's spiritually profitable. 1 Corinthians 6:12, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, verse 23. All things are lawful, but not all things are profitable. All things are lawful, but not all things edify. So, we're looking at, when you look at verse 23, you see the objectives. First of all, profitability, and secondly, edifying. So, is what we're doing profitable, and is it edifying? See? That's why Paul says, knowledge is of no value, it produces arrogance. Love edifies. Spiritual love edifies other people. So you've got to ask yourself these questions. Is what you're doing profitable? So a believer can give everything as they did in Acts 4. Remember Acts 4? They sold everything, gave all their money to Peter, the apostles, to distribute to the people in need. See? Give everything you own. But if there's no spiritual love, it profits you nothing. At the time of the judgment seat of Christ, and I have to remind you, every one of you will stand at the judgment seat of Christ. Don't be so quick to pray for the rapture. Because right after the rapture, you're going to be face to face with the judge. Right after. Face to face with him. Right there. So you have to decide. Is what you're doing profitable? So that's going to be the great issue at the judgment seat of Christ. And he's not going to say, well, you did this, you have 3,000 wonderful good deeds, all in the flesh, you get nothing. Next. Why is he going to be able to go through the entire church age so quickly? Because I think it's going to be next. Wait a minute. You did a couple hours. Okay. That's why it's going to be easy. Okay. So, it is spiritual love given by the Holy Spirit as a fruit of the Holy Spirit that converts, alchemizes whatever we're doing into something valuable. See? So we have giving in 1 Corinthians 13:3, giving plus the Holy Spirit, spiritual love, equals a benefit to the believer. What benefit? From our study in Galatians alone. That's all I want to limit this summary to here. Galatians alone. Point one. Galatians 5:6. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith, working itself through love, or as the NIV has it, for in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. To me, anybody who starts studying the book of James and doesn't have this as the introductory verse, they're going to miss James. This is the introduction to James. Is anything that counts is faith expressing itself in or through love. Now, one reason I prefer the NIV reading here is because it emphasizes the phrase has any value. Circumcision and uncircumcision are meritorious works, deeds, things that you have to do. You do circumcision, you don't do circumcision. So it's a value system. So we have as any value. This is the Greek word ischuo, I-S-C-H-U-O, which means to have efficacy, which means the ability to pervert, to produce a desired or intended result. See? That's what efficacious means, to produce a desired result. And the point is, whatever we do for Christ in the Holy Spirit will have value in time and eternity if it's done in the Holy Spirit. If it's done in the flesh, it's only time. And the earth is going to pass away. If you do it in the Holy Spirit, you touch your life in time, you touch eternity. So here again, we're at the judgment seat of Christ. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision refers to performance systems, which is by the law. When a person lives by law, they live by a performance system. That's why people who live by law are great judges. The legalistic believer judges everybody. That's how they live. You live by law, you judge. Whatever it is. People who live by their beauty, they judge those that are not beautiful like they are. Those who judge by accomplishments, performance, they judge those who don't. So whatever it is, you live by grace, you have no basis to judge. I didn't earn or deserve anything from God. Faith expressing itself in love. See, as I said, this should be the guiding principle of the study of James. In any study, making your life count for Christ, faith in the Holy Spirit, expressed by spiritual love in life, the Holy Spirit pours in spiritual love, and that transforms whatever you do or say into something valuable before God. Maybe not before man, but before God. Two, also in Galatians we find inheriting the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:21, which is different from entering the kingdom of God. To inherit the kingdom of God refers to inheriting rewards of the kingdom in eternity. All believers enter the kingdom of God. All believers. Only the believer who knew how to live in the Holy Spirit inherits in the kingdom. So if you want to inherit in the kingdom, you've got to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Point three, also in Galatians, We saw sowing in the Holy Spirit. Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Let's look at Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Galatians 6, verse 7. Do not be deceived. Now, let me just stop. That's not my point, is this first phrase. But let me remind you something. We studied five characteristics of our flesh nature. And if you remember the third one, our flesh nature is greatly deceived. If you are deceived, you're living in the flesh, not in the spirit. You're living in the Holy Spirit, you'll not be deceived about you or anybody else. So, do not be deceived. That means do not live in your flesh nature. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. Everything you did in your life, corrupted, gone. But the one who sows in the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal blessing. So this is the great issue in this regard. Sowing in the Holy Spirit, reaping in the Holy Spirit. Sowing in the Holy Spirit, reaping spiritual love. Okay. Now, let's have a discussion for a moment. Let's move to another discussion. Why people stop living by faith? They started living by faith, they stopped living by faith. They started walking by faith, they stopped walking by faith. There are four primary reasons in the book of Galatians alone. One, distortion of truth. After they're saved, a pastor, a teacher, distorts the truth. They listen to those who distort the truth of the gospel, of grace, and stop living by faith and start living by law. Galatians chapter 1. Let's look at Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. I am amazed. Now here's what it takes to, not that they've been in horrible sin, but look, I am amazed that you so quickly, remember this is the first book written by Paul. This is not long after Jesus Christ and the day of Pentecost. Jesus Christ ascended and seated and the day of Pentecost. You've so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you and wait to distort the gospel of Christ. See? They were saved by grace through faith. They want to live by law. Our little booklet, The Gospel for Christians. Many Christians move away from the truth of the gospel. Very important we understand this. So the first reason, distortion of truth. The second, fear. Fear of others. What will they think of you if you live by grace? Galatians 2, 12 and 13. Galatians 2, 12 and 13. Verse 11. But when Peter came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. Isn't that amazing? This nobody Paul, who used to kill Christians, embracing Peter. Verse 12 now. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, fellowship with them. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision. See? The rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, with the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Why do you stop living by faith in the Holy Spirit? Fear of others. Fear of others. Parentheses, footnote. When I moved from spirituality by confession to spirituality by grace through faith, I had and still have. Still here, people. That's not what Bob Thien taught. So you're wrong. And you're not to be listened to. people. You got to make up your mind. You're going to stand with truth or not. In the political realm, we see this with Donald Trump all the time. A lot of people will support him, but they'll never let anybody know it. How did he win? How did he win? There is no earthly way he could win. They did not have that many people saying they'd vote for him. All said and done, multitudes voted for him, and they were, where did those people come from? They're there. They're afraid. They're intimidated. Peter says, don't be intimidated by them. Don't be intimidated by them. Okay, so first of all, distortion of truth. Secondly, fear. Third, they are charmed away from living by faith. Charmed away by some smooth-talking preacher. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1. Now the word foolish in Galatians 3:1, you foolish Galatians, foolish means non-thinking. That's what foolish means, you non-thinking Galatians. Who has charmed you, not bewitched you, charmed you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. They were charmed away from the truth. So the first reason, distortion of truth. Secondly, can't handle fear of others. Third, charmed away from the truth. And then five, hindered by various tactics. Look at Galatians 5:7. Galatians 5:7. I love 5:7 for a lot of reasons. You were running well. Doesn't that sound great? Look at verse 1 though. It was for freedom that Christ set you free. Therefore, keep standing firm. Now here, I'm said I'm running well. How can you stand firm and run well? See? So I love it from that standpoint. They were running well. Well, you run well in the truth. That's what you're running well in. Okay, let's go on. You were running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? What is the only obedience God is looking for? Faith. First sentence in Romans, last sentence in Romans. The obedience that God is looking for is faith. So, who hindered you, and how did they hinder you? By teaching you, hindering you with false teachings. It's an Olympic term. And what would happen is one contestant does something to throw the other one off balance. You would be running alongside, you may trip him, you may elbow him. A lot of different little tactics that you have. See? So who, it's an Olympic term to throw you off balance. So this can be believers who will hinder you from your walk of faith. Tell you that's not how you do it. It's not by faith alone. It's not by grace alone. You've got to work. And by the way, while we're on that verse, I love the word who. It's that mystical who all the way through Galatians. Chapter 3, verse 1. Who? We all know who. The author is Satan. But he uses believers. And he uses unbelievers. Okay. This is why your faith is so vital. And your constant faith gives you constant love for Jesus Christ and in anticipation of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ, and there is nothing wrong. In fact, if Christ is going to offer them, I want them. It's that simple. If he's not going to offer them, okay, I don't care. But if he's going to give them, I want them. And I hope you do too. Now back to 1 Corinthians 13:3. We've made through the first sentence. And if, maybe I do, maybe I don't, but that's not the point. Give all my possessions. And then at the bottom, but do not have love. It profits me nothing. Point one. Giving with the force of spiritual love. And remember, spiritual love is a force. So giving with the force of spiritual love, which is the love that Christ loved you with, when we give under the force of spiritual love, we are benefited by our concentration on Christ, His love for us. See, the thing about it is, one reason believers have trouble loving another believer, in their family, in the church, whatever the case is, they've got their eyes on that person. Forget that. Get your eyes on Christ. He loves me. I love you. You're in Christ. Remember last week, forgiveness? It's difficult to forgive if you've got your eyes on the person that's harmed you, done you wrong. Get your eyes off of them. Get your eyes on Christ. He's forgiven you. You forgive. It's impossible to forgive in the flesh if you've got your eyes on them. You'll forgive with strings attached, all kinds of things. But when we forgive in the power of the Spirit, with our eyes on how Christ forgave us, how God forgave us, then you forgive others. So that's what this point is about. Giving with the force of spiritual love. You're looking at Christ, not at the person. Point two. When our giving is alchemized. I love that word. I know it's old-fashioned, but I love it. Alchemized, A-L-C-H-E-M-I-Z-E-D, by spiritual love, turns your giving into something precious, valuable, profitable. Something precious, valuable, profitable in the spiritual warfare. You do not draw attention to yourself. You draw attention to Christ and His love and how He loves. Christ is glorified then when you do it in the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to Matthew 25. Matthew chapter 25. Let's begin reading in Matthew 25 at verse 34. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. When I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, thirsty and gave you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" The king answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, the extent that you did this to one of the brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Now, let's go ahead and read it. I want to read it for a purpose. I know we're running out of time. "Then he will also say to those on his left, 'Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire, which it was prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Always remember that. The lake of fire is prepared for Satan and his angels. Man gets to join them. Okay. "I was hungry and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger and you did not invite me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and you didn't, in prison, you did not visit me. Then they themselves also will answer, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' Then he will answer them, 'Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me.'" The other night, Judith and I had one of our granddaughters and one of our grandsons with us. I just finished this study, and she said, "Something happened in church, and I want to ask you about it." And I think it's about the first time she's ever asked me. And she quoted this. She said, "I always thought you went to heaven because you believed in Christ. This says because you did works." And I smiled and I said, "Wait a minute, honey. Where were they to begin with, on the right or left? They were either saved or unsaved when it began. Those that are on the saved side should characterize his life this way. Those on the left side characterize their life that way. But the decision's already been made. It had nothing to do with whether they did or didn't." So this becomes so important in our lives, people. When we're giving, it's spiritual love that alchemizes the giving into something precious and valuable. Well, we've run out of time now, and we will begin at point three. We'll probably review point one and two next Sunday morning and move on in our study. Let's close in a word of prayer. Spiritual love, Heavenly Father, is so demanded by you, and is so easy for us, but it's so difficult, because our flesh nature doesn't want to just do faith. And you know that. And you made faith so simple. You made it so easy for us to be saved and to be rewarded at the judgment seat of Christ. There is no way we can ever produce this love in our flesh, but in your spirit, we have it. Father, we thank you for the passages we've looked at. We thank you for your grace, the cognizance of how pitiful we are, making it so simple for us. We praise you in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.